got you covered. Our ASC certified technicians guarantee top-notch results for your vehicle. Call 410-335-8848. That's 410-335-8848. Or visit JimBarbieAutomotive.com. Jim Barbie Automotive, where quality doesn't cost, it pays off.
Rapid radios are instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. Business owners can keep in touch with up to 200 staff members at one time. Go to rapidradios.com now for up to 60% off and free shipping.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
The Diamondbacks captured the rubber match of their series against the Orioles after shutting them out 9-0. Josh Naylor led the way at the plate after going 3-for-4 with a solo homer and 3 RBI. The Orioles host the Blue Jays for a 3-game set that starts tomorrow night. At 11:05, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
We're in and out of the clouds, the rain the rest of this week. Showers scattered this afternoon, 56. Widespread rain tomorrow, 54. Only a few showers Saturday, 52 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 48 degrees in Bel Air, 51 in Halethorpe, and 48 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. If you're just joining us, I got to ask you, where the heck have you been? Many people weighing in this morning, and I absolutely love it. You know, I love talking to you. Weighing in on the tariff war, or some people, you know what, someone called it and said it's not really a tariff war. I happen to agree with that. You know, President Trump is making decisions on our behalf. It's great to have some representation, right? Not just taxation. On our behalf, he's making decisions to hopefully continue to put us in a good spot here in America. And I think we could all agree, no matter which side the aisle we sit on, I think we could all agree that other countries have been taking advantage of us here. Let's see. I got a couple of texts that came in on the topic, and I could tell you many people have already said that they agree with what President Trump is doing. Helen says, I agree 100%. There were a couple of texts that I guess because Joe said he doesn't want to listen too much about Trump as much. Joe from Baltimore, our friend. And so some people said, well, Joe, just turn off the radio. Trust me, I get what you're saying there, too, as well. I wanted to get into this topic about the rising stars, because we were discussing Governor Westmore. Obviously, the mayhem that he's inflicted upon the state of Maryland with terrible spending habits. But right now, I believe the DNC still looks to Moore as one of the top candidates for president in 2028 or even 2032, I guess, whenever they decide to push him through. And so I wanted to know and ask a couple questions, because if you're looking at the names that are coming forward, like Governor Westmore, who's not doing a great job, you've got AOC, which I don't have much confidence in anything that she talks about. And then you've got even people floating the name Representative Jasmine Crockett. Now, this is the same Jasmine Crockett who's, you know, I don't even know what you call it. They call it code switching. But I think she goes beyond code switching, right? Code switching, in case you're not too familiar, you know, it's kind of like you're at home way of speaking versus what the language and the way you might speak like in the, you know, professional office. I think everybody does a little bit of code switching, right? But what Jasmine Crockett has been doing is that she has been completely changing her personality, her dialect, everything that she does is absolutely different than when you see videos of her practicing law, you know, not even 5 years ago. And so now she's, you know, this girl from the hood. This is how she presents herself. She's this girl from the hood She's using some of the most horrible language you could possibly imagine. And this is coming from someone that curses like a sailor, by the way. I just don't think as a member of Congress, you know, I don't know if I would go to all of these events and just start cursing and talking about, you know, people picking cotton. And she's been saying the craziest stuff. Well, anyways, she's on the short list for the DNC as a rising star. And I'm just sitting here thinking, how? How could that be? Is this all we have to offer? No, it can't be. Not on the Democrats. You guys can do better than that. Can't be. Now, meanwhile, I like our bench in the Republican Party. Our bench is pretty solid if you think about it. Right now, I'm being joined by my friend, Mike Allers Jr., Mike over in West Virginia. Mike, good morning to you.
Hey, Kim. Great to be here.
Thank you. Mike, I was just talking about the rising stars because we're going to get into this. But I will say, you know, starting with our deep bench here in the Republican Party, I like who we have on the bench. I mean, obviously, President Trump is, you know, the number one guy in my eyes. But if we're looking at J.D. Vance, if we're looking at now Secretary Marco Rubio, you know, Pete Hegseth, I think he's going to come out of this as, you know, making a huge name for himself. I got to get your take on this. And if you could give the audience a little bit about yourself and a little of your background.
Sure. So I am a political commentator. I have been a writer and a columnist, and I've been in the political game for a little while. I previously ran for office, and that's actually how I met Kim. Kim, actually, you know, you guided me through that process, and you've been a great friend. And we've been able to link up and plot new ways for Republicans to win going forward. Our bench is amazing. I mean, as you said, not only do we have Pete Hegseth, who I do believe is a contender. He's TV ready. We have Vice President Vance. We have Rubio, who just got we got an American citizen home from Russia because of Rubio's persistence. We also have Don Jr., which could be that third term that everybody's talking about. We even have Tulsi Gabbard, and don't count her out either as a rising star. So basically the whole cabinet could serve as the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I see that too, because I mean, if you're thinking Ron DeSantis, I'm looking at even Byron Donalds. I don't know if he's going to end up, you know, becoming the governor there in Florida. But even now, Mike, and I know you saw this too, with John James in Michigan throwing his hat in the ring for the gubernatorial race.
Absolutely. I mean, Byron and John James, very impressive. Byron, I actually was almost rooting for to get VP last time around when Trump was making his selection. I'm glad we got JD. But Byron is an amazing rising star. Really the complete package there. Also on my list I have, do not count them out, Elise Stefanik had to be pulled to be pulled the House.
Yeah.
But Elise Stefanik is at least, you know, a VP contender going forward in the future. I also think it's interesting, he's a moderate, but now he's in Trump's good graces. Chris Sununu of New Hampshire, former governor there, was elected four times. Who hasn't always agreed with the MAGA base, but he's kind of an interesting guy, has a lot of energy, and he passed on a Senate run, which would have been a slam dunk for him, and I wonder what else lies in his future as well.
Oh, wow. So that's in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. See, this is why I need to talk to you, because I know you're watching this a lot closer than I am. And you know, I watch it pretty closely because I love to see who's, you know, running for office in different districts across the country. But, you know, when we're looking at the other side of the ticket, right, we're looking at the Dems. Of course, they're always talking about Governor Wes Moore. And I could see that. He's a great public speaker. Very articulate. Many people point out he's good looking. He's like the entire package of a show pony, right? There's not a ton of substance, but show ponies win. They do win. So a lot of people are talking about Wes Moore. I'm wondering, Mike, who else is on the list there for the DNC?
Absolutely. So I think in order for the Democrats to win, they have to do the Bill Clinton playbook. So in 1992, Bill Clinton ran away. You know, the liberals ran the party into the ground. The Democrats, you know, went through the Reagan years, the first term of H.W. Bush. They were lost in the wilderness, and a moderate like Bill Clinton came out of nowhere, led the party to a pretty big victory and a resurgence. Wes Moore, I do think, despite, you know, his mixed bag of a record in Maryland, is someone that could speak to, especially the deficit with men. I think my predictions are very male-heavy because the Democrats completely lost men, and specifically men of color, and they need to get that back. Wes Moore, with his military background, I mean, he even works out with you know, the University of Maryland football team, like, has that appeal. Josh Shapiro on the intellectual side, governor of Pennsylvania, is someone who, again, is articulate, definitely has an impressive record with working on the other side. He actually passed school choice and did a lot of school choice initiatives in Pennsylvania. I also do have to say, you brought up Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett, I think, gets in, but for fundraising. There's no way, because in South Carolina, that's the new first state for the Democratic primary, and older black voters, I believe, see through her act and will opt for someone safer and more moderate. So I think she's automatically going to be written off.
All right. But you know what? I didn't even think about the fundraising aspect. She is very entertaining, and her events have been sold out from all appearances if you're looking at the crowd size.
Yeah, it'll be good for the stage and attention, but I think she just raises her profile more. My wild card, someone to watch, is actually Jared Golden. He's a congressman out of Maine who's like the sole congressman who's backing Trump on the tariffs. So that's someone that could thread the needle in that Rust Belt. You know, I don't think the Democratic base will go for that, but if we're talking about more moderate, older voters, it's possible they could opt for someone like that.
Yeah, yeah. We're speaking to Mike Allers, Jr. Mike, I know you know Virginia very well. What are you thinking of as far as Governor Glenn Youngkin? What do you think his next move might be?
I think Glenn Youngkin, you know, and actually I got to know Glenn when I first ran for office. He was one of the first people to donate, so I considered him a friend. I actually think that Glenn's best option is not for president in 2028. I just don't think that's where, you know, he's of the more moderate kind of business sense that works for Virginia. I actually think he's the best shot to win a U.S. Senate seat in Virginia.
Okay.
I actually think that's really the best for him. I think, obviously, you could add him to the cabinet if someone, you know, wins in 2028. But I think, like, we need a strong candidate for Senate in Virginia, and we just have not had someone that could take on the legacy of Kaine and Warner. I think a name like Youngkin and with the money he could raise could do that.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about that one. I got a text here from Nick. He says, he's making a joke here. Nick and Perry Hall says, what about Beto and Waltz? Maybe they could be on a ticket together.
If the Democrats want to lose,
yeah.
I mean, we'll welcome that. You know, you brought up AOC. I actually think AOC's best move is to primary Chuck Schumer, but I think she's out of the race too.
Oh, okay. You know what? Oh, my gosh. She could move to the Senate. You're right. She could win that
seat.
She could
win in the primary. Easy.
Oh, man. We don't need her in the Senate.
Nope.
Let's keep all the shenanigans in the House. We got all the characters in the House already. I did want to ask you, Mike, and I know how familiar you are with the ins and outs of Texas, but Colin Allred, he did do fairly well against Senator Ted Cruz this last race. I don't think this is the last we're going to hear of Colin Allred. What are your thoughts?
No, absolutely not. I think Colin would be, if I'm thinking like a Democrat, I don't think he could win statewide in Texas. I just don't think Texas is trending that way. But I actually think Colin would be a good, like, VP addition. So if you had someone like a, let's say, Gretchen Whitmer, who, by the way, if you've noticed, kind of smoothed things over with Trump. They were very kind of chummy, very friendly.
Yeah.
She's also one to watch. You had like someone like Gretchen Whitmer and Colin Allred as VP to kind of speak to men, that could also be a pretty strong ticket, because he's not all the way crazy on a lot of issues. He's pretty moderate, and he got pretty close in Texas. So that is definitely one to watch. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, we got the Prince Charming of them all with his new podcast, Gavin Newsom. Where does he end up?
I think Gavin Newsom, actually, and Rahm Emanuel is kind of in the same bucket. They go the way of Bloomberg, where Bloomberg, there's a lot of chatter about them, you know, Bloomberg pumping in all the money, his ability to raise and kind of cut through the noise. I just don't think Gavin gets, I don't count Gavin out at all. I do think he's a smart guy. I just think at the end of the day, especially, let's go to the, you know, the older black voters in South Carolina, they know a San Francisco liberal is not going to win a general election.
Yeah.
And they decide, and now they're number one in the primary now. It's not Iowa, it's not New Hampshire. It gets decided very early now. That's the way Biden tried to rig it. I think it's going to be someone that they know is going to speak to all of America and those lost deficits that they have. I think that's going to be very important to them going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great insight here, Mike. I guess my last question for you.
Yeah.
Here we're coming up on the midterms. Do the Republicans keep the House and the Senate, or do we end up losing one of those?
I actually think it really is up to Republicans, because if Republicans, I think we cannot show any cracks in our armor. We have to be completely, I think, lockstep with President Trump during this crucial time, because if the Democrats win, and I actually think the Democrats do have a good shot to pick off, because I believe the majority is like, what, 3-4, that they could pick it out in those districts. I think they need to embrace the tariffs. I think they need to be lockstep with Trump's agenda and show the American people that they're working for them. I don't think they should be cowardly and not hold town halls, even if it is full of liberal activists. I think it's your job to show up no matter who's in the room. So I think if we're in line with the president and deliver his agenda, we'll be fine. But if you start getting everybody's little opinions and, you know, Thomas Massey, you know, saying his opinion on the tariffs and whatnot, you're going to see those cracks, and it's not going to hold well in November, if that's the case.
Yeah, yeah, and I do fear that. I hope Speaker Johnson really, you know, gets it to action here. I know we were kind of delayed with that whole proxy voting nonsense, but they're going to have to pick up the pace and get some of these executive orders into law, because right now I think there's a lot of us, myself, especially myself, you know, I'm getting a little anxious on it, because I'm thinking, you know, if we lose the House or the Senate in the midterms, we're not going to get anything accomplished. So we got to do it now.
Nope. And that's why President Trump is moving so fast. And if people have a problem with his executive orders, it's because Congress can't do anything. And he knows that.
Yeah.
So, you know, remember Obama used to say a pen and a phone. That's how he had to get things done. Unfortunately, that's the way it is now.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. Well, Mike, as always, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll keep in touch, because I'm sure we're going to see some other people emerge probably very shortly.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Kim. And I look forward to joining you back on here.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you. Again, that was Mike Allers Jr. And he does. He keeps track of all these things. I mean, he's on it. What they did in Virginia with Glenn Youngkin and Winston Sears, who's the lieutenant governor now running for governor, I mean, nobody could have saw that coming, all right? And this is, again, remember, Glenn Youngkin, he was even very friendly with President Trump when everybody was telling him not to be. They said, look, it's Virginia. Don't be friendly with Trump. And he said, no, Trump's my friend. And he still, they got it done. Now, I will say, their ground game was phenomenal. I ended up going to, I think it was one event, yeah, with Winston Sears. It was an event in Fairfax, Virginia. And it was sold out. The house was packed. And they had people coming up from all over the state. And I just thought, wow, they're killing it. They had a lot of young people like Mike. And this is why those young Republican clubs, they're so important in every state. In every state, we have to support them. All right, coming up next, speaking of candidates that might go somewhere, Megyn Kelly on her podcast mentioned Kristi Noem. And Megyn Kelly isn't happy with Kristi Noem, but a lot of people are wondering where Kristi is headed. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Joining me in studio, Dr. Melissa Seguier from Audiology Associates. As always, welcome.
Thank you.
Artificial intelligence is everywhere. Has it made its way into hearing aids?
Oh, yeah. It's been there for years. And, you know, a lot of hearing aid companies, they do tons of advertising. So if you are in that box of a certain age and maybe a certain income, or you've just Googled something, you're going to start getting all these ads. And AI has been in hearing aids for years because it's always analyzing the environment, trying to find a speaker and trying to enhance that while reducing the noise. And there's speech intelligibility and all those other fun techie things. What we're seeing now, and I think the next generation will be, is that hearing aids are going to start to pinpoint voices. So, for example, if you were out to dinner and you had hearing loss, it could be programmed to tune into your wife's voice. So over all the noise, it's really going to focus on her. So it's going to be able to take that a step further. And that way you can really hear what you want to hear. And the hearing aids are just going to get smarter that way.
Well, there's so many husbands out there right now who are saying, well, that's great because I haven't heard a word she said for the last 35 years.
And they're like, and I don't want to. Can we have the lower end technology? I don't want to hear her. But it is an option that we are able to do. And it's really cool when you think about that. I mean, we already have a lot of features in the hearing aids with pedometers. So it's taking into a health count and you're tracking your steps and, you know, fall risks and all that other stuff. And it's encouraging movement and a healthy lifestyle, which is very cool. So, I mean, the AI has been there. It's just going to get more specific and really fine tuned to make it even easier.
Can you adjust it for different environments when you're there using
Absolutely.
The
app? We can do that now. So if you have an app, every hearing aid has an app from the manufacturer you have, and you can really open the app and then focus on background noise reduction or focus on speech clarity. And then they're really able to kind of focus and modify what you want to hear. Some of them, you can even point the microphone on the speaker. So you're overriding the computer and you're saying, my wife is on the right. I want to hear that only. And that's where we're going to listen.
Wow, that's amazing
stuff. It is amazing.
Audiology Associates, 410-944-3100, when silence is not golden.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
All right. Again, that was Mike Allers Jr. joining us, talking about the rising stars in both parties. And I tell you what, now that he's mentioned AOC, she could primary Chuck Schumer. She could. Maybe that's why they're taking all these swipes at him right now. She would win that primary fairly easily. That's scary, isn't it? Yes. We'll have to continue to watch and see. Speaking of candidates that I thought were on their way to run for the Oval Office, Kristi Noem. Now, she was the, well, she's currently the Department of Homeland Security Secretary. And I think she's doing a phenomenal job with working with ICE. And she was formerly the governor of North Dakota. And I thought she did a phenomenal job there. There's many people in North Dakota that will tell you so. But there are a lot of people online talking about what she looks like lately. And not in a bad way. She looks gorgeous. Kristi Noem has always looked gorgeous. I don't think anybody can deny that. She always has full glam and makeup. She loves her hair extensions, like many of us. And she, in my view, has always just been a very girly girl. But she is kind of rough around the edges, right? She grew up on a farm, but she loves hair and makeup. You know, well, apparently there are a lot of people in the Republican Party that do not like it. And they feel as though that this has been a distraction. Take a listen to Megyn Kelly on her podcast just yesterday.
We talk about Kristi Noem and these ridiculous photo ops. Why does she have to keep doing this? She's doing a great job. Like, her actual performance as DHS secretary, in my view anyway, has been amazing. Just stop trying to glamorize the mission and put yourself in the middle of it as you cosplay ICE agent, which you're not. I can't stand these photo ops, you guys. I think they diminish ICE. They diminish DHS, CPB. She's not an agent. She is an administrative policy person appointed by Trump because she was very loyal to him. Fine. But stop with the glam. I mean, she looks like I look right now, but she's out in the field with her gun being like, we're going to go kick some ass. No one wants you there. First of all, nobody ever wants the extra lady who doesn't actually belong. They just don't. I just, pro tip, as somebody whose brother is a cop, they don't want you there, even if, you know, you're an attractive lady who just wants to, they don't want you. There are lives on the line. They may say that you can come because you're DHS secretary, but these guys are going to be much safer if you have nothing to do with it. And sure enough, she went on one of these raids and somebody tried to kick her. It's like she's looking for an opportunity to have that happen. I have had it up to here with all of this. A bunch of gun enthusiasts. And, you know, you put this out to people on the right in particular, they will look at everything you do with a gun. Are ripping her because if you look at the gun, it's pointed right at the head of that guy right next to her. I think this is an ICE worker, right at his head. Now her finger's not on the trigger, but bunch of gun enthusiasts are like, you don't point a gun at your compatriot's head. Is a post from Jonathan T. Gilliam. He's been on the show. Christian Navy SEAL, not this one, I think, but earlier ones, multiple times. Christian Navy SEAL, FBI agent, air marshal, among his other accomplishments. These social media posts devalue everything you are doing right. Secretary Noem, are you the Secretary of Homeland Security or are you a social media influencer? Because if you are the boss, you wouldn't be slinging a weapon and kicking indoors. So unless you are issued that weapon, you should not be holding it for posts and pics. Screwing around with guns for social media would get anyone that works under you fired.
And that part of it is true. Okay, if somebody was in her office, you know, pretending to be an ICE agent and had these guns pointing right there at another ICE agent, I mean, yeah, you would be reprimanded. I guess I look at it, I say, you know, Kristi Noem is Kristi Noem. I think she's being herself. I think I would be suspicious if she wasn't showing up in full glam. But I also could see what Megyn Kelly is saying here. I just want to put that on the table because I have a feeling that's going to come to a head. Because there are a lot of people very upset with Kristi lately. And I think she's a rising star. We'll discuss more when we get back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The House has done it, passing President Trump's so-called big, beautiful budget bill, advancing Mr. Trump's agenda in the process. Approval came this morning after behind-the-scenes negotiations that won over some Republican holdovers who were concerned about deficit reduction. Responding to the president's three-month pause in higher U.S. tariffs on most countries, the European Union delaying new tariffs on American goods for 90 days. The lone exception is China. Mr. Trump's levy on the Chinese imports rising to 125%. After postponing last evening's vote, House Republicans have voted today to approve the president's budget plan. And on Wall Street this morning, stocks are in the red. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 965 points, while the Nasdaq Composite Index trading 593 points lower. More details, srnnews.com.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Mother Nature putting spring on pause with this cold front that's moving through. Not only clouds and rain, but also some cooler temperatures with it. Showers this morning ease up some by the afternoon. Still a few showers later today. 56 the high. Widespread rain tomorrow. Heavy rains possible. 54 tomorrow. And a few showers Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel. For Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Rapid radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscription ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com and you'll get 60% off, free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Why do we refinance our homes? To lower our mortgage payments, consolidate debt, and make life more affordable. Did you know a reverse mortgage is just another refinance? But this time, instead of lowering your payment, you're eliminating it. Stop making mortgage payments and put that money back in your pocket each month where it belongs. Call me, Mark McVeary, 410-788-7070. That's 410-788-7070.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. You know, I keep thinking about these rising stars and that conversation we had with Mike Alashugar there. There are a lot of people, I think, on the right. As he mentioned, Elise Stefanik. She really is. She's a rising star. And I do. We were talking about Kristi Noem. I still love Kristi. I do. Like, if she wasn't in full glam, I would say, who took over Christie's body? Where is the Kristi I know? But the same thing with Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake, I don't think I've ever seen her without full glam. No, now that I think about it, no. Her makeup is always professionally done, always. And that's just how some people live, right? Some people just want to look their best at all times. And, you know, but I understand what Megan's saying, because Megyn Kelly, and we were talking about how she went on her podcast, she was concerned with the photo ops from Kristi Noem. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot to say. You know what? I expect that from some of the men online, to be honest with you, because there are a lot of men poking fun and being like, calm it down, da-da-da-da. But for me, you know, when I look at Kristi, I say, okay, she's got her makeup on. And then when it comes to the hair extensions, she has the hair extensions that are sewn in. So she can't just, like, take them out. You know what I mean? Like, she's not putting them in every morning when she's going to join ICE on these missions. They're sewn into her head. So it's like, I guess, what are you asking? Are you asking her to put it in a bun? I don't know. I guess I'm just confused. I got Kathy in Stevensville. Kathy, did you want to weigh in on that?
Hi. Yes, real quick, I just wanted to say, and you know better than anybody, Kim, that Republican women are beautiful, and we can't help it. That's number one. We're beautiful. You're beautiful. You can't help it. That's Republican women, okay? It's genetic. I think she brings attention to the cause and what's happening. And I think if anybody else were saying this, it would be considered sexist.
Right.
Misogynistic. You can put all the labels on it you want.
Yeah.
But she's doing a great job. And as far as the guy kicking the crock, I watched it last night. He wasn't trying to kick her. If you watch it, he's trying to hide his face, number one, behind his shoulder, and the camera from getting the shot of his face. He's not putting it up to her. He's trying to hide the camera from viewing his face.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's gotten twisted. He was trying to kick her in the face. No, he wasn't. He was hiding the camera.
I got to find that clip then. Yeah.
Yeah, watch it, and you'll see what I mean. He's hiding his face in every which way possible. But her on the horse, her riding that horse, she's gorgeous. She's badass.
Yeah.
Excuse my language. But and the one thing I do fear for her, when I see her standing in front of that prison down in El Salvador cute little I'm afraid for her.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to forget. And so for me, I think that was probably not smart.
Yeah.
Forget about all the other stuff. I'm scared for her.
Yeah.
Because they hold them for, what I understand, a year. Well, she's a young woman. So I worry about her having gone in there, period, let alone, and what, you know, she was dressed normal. But I think I would have been like in a potato sack.
Yeah.
If at all.
Yeah, I probably would not have done that video at all, you mentioned there.
Danger.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of those gang members. They have gang members that are out and about that we're still trying to find. And yeah. I agree
she
with you.
She won't have Secret Service forever. She's not going to have that forever. So I worry for her. I think it was brave, not smart.
Yeah.
And sometimes being brave, I guess you have to do stupid things. But it definitely made a message. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She got across a message, and it put the fear in me. So I imagine if I was an illegal criminal, I think I'd be trying to get the heck out of America on my own.
Right.
If that's
yeah.
the last place you want to be.
Exactly.
Into yeah. Kristi Noem and her posse. Uh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kathy, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you. A lot of great points there. And in case you missed it, as Kathy was speaking, you know, Kristi Noem, she did this video right in front of that prison where El Salvador is holding right now some of the most dangerous criminals you could possibly imagine. I mean, the gang signs, the tattoos all over their faces. It looked crazy. Me, personally, I wouldn't have done the video. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm not scared of much, but that was scary. I don't think I could have stood there. But she was trying to show everybody that she's really tough. Speaking of illegal immigrants, I did just want to bring to you, because it is day 7 of the Rachel Warren case, or trial, I should say. Sorry about that. And there have been, obviously, witnesses that have taken the stand. There have been photos that have been shared of the crime scene. You know, you see the family members going in and out of the courtroom, lots of tears. It hurts my heart that they have to relive this. And I know that they do, but it hurts my heart. I want you to just take a listen to where we are today with this case by Fox 45.
Pivotal new evidence was introduced during day six of Rachel Morin's murder trial, including powerful testimony from potentially the last person to see her alive. Victor Martinez Hernandez, an illegal immigrant from El Salvador, is accused of raping and killing the Harford County mother of five. Fox 45's Rebecca Pryor has the latest from court.
Yeah, this latest witness says it was a brief but haunting encounter. Not only does he believe that he saw Morin just before she died, he also thinks he saw the suspect close by.
Tucked behind the trees lining Bel Air's popular Mon Paw walking trail, these scattered evidence markers follow a trail of blood leading to the tunnel drain where Rachel Morin's brutally beaten body was uncovered nearly 2 years ago. Also found nearby, a pile of bloody rocks, Morin's headphones, Apple Watch, and a shovel. The shovel, a disturbing new piece of evidence revealed for the first time today in court, which got off to a slow start following a lengthy sidebar with the judge, a juror dismissed and replaced with one of five remaining alternates, although it's unclear why. Called first to the stand, potentially the last person to see Morin before the attack. Kyle Stacy says he frequently hikes the trail with his dog and girlfriend. During a routine walk, he says Morin passes him. Then about 30 seconds later, he sees a mysterious man lurking in the woods, wearing a hoodie on a hot summer day. Stacy recalls feeling nervous and uncomfortable, telling his girlfriend, "This is really weird. No one should be over there, and we've got to get out of there."
Oh, that was huge. He said, "Look, when I look at this guy, he seems like he got caught doing something wrong."
The next day, reports of the deadly discovery surfacing. When I pulled up a news article and I saw Rachel's picture, my heart sank immediately because I knew that that was the same woman I saw, he said. Stacy going on to say the suspicious man was holding a black walking stick, now believed to be the shovel. That is absolutely the stick, he told investigators. However, the defense noting Stacy also told them the man was tall, muscular, and had a blonde beard, inconsistent with the defendant's appearance.
And they really haven't challenged many of the witnesses. They may poke a small hole, but it really doesn't seem to make a big effect on the entire case itself.
All right, and that was Rebecca Pryor with Fox 45. And if you want to get detailed, information on the trial, you could follow Rebecca on X. I think she does post some stuff on her Facebook account. But if you're on X, formerly known as Twitter, I mean, she's giving you the play-by-play as she's sitting there in the courtroom. And so you can see exactly what she's saying. Also there with the description, some people are questioning whether or not that witness truly saw Victor Martinez because the description was a bit off. My first question was, does this witness usually wear glasses? Because they said that they saw the walking stick, whether he believed was a black walking stick, could have been the shovel that Victor Martinez had. He did accurately describe, I guess, what he was wearing, but the facial hair was off. There were other things off. I will say, somebody that needs to wear glasses, even though I don't do it because I don't really like them, but I have to wear them while I drive. I do wonder if this witness maybe just could not see that far. But as you heard there, that witness also saw Rachel right before she was killed. If you heard there, he and his girlfriend were walking on that path and walked by Rachel that day. And again, my heart just breaks. It goes out to all of her five children, obviously her mother, and all of our family and friends, and I can't imagine what they're feeling and what they're going through. I also just wanted to mention, Victor Martinez, he was deported three times before he allegedly killed Rachel. And the last time he was deported, he was also being accused of killing a woman in El Salvador. And he still was able to get into the country. And this is, again, I just put this out here because we just had in Annapolis where you had Democrats vote for ICE not tonight be able to go into certain places to apprehend some of these illegal immigrants that have warrants. I don't understand why you would protect any individual when, number one, obviously they have warrants for their arrest because they did commit some kind of crime other than coming across our border, which is a crime if you do it illegally. But other than that, and then on top of it, you have no idea what they were involved with in the country which they fled. You don't know. And here is a prime example. Do I believe Victor Martinez killed that woman in El Salvador? I do. I have yet to see where, look, they might be saying, his lawyer might be saying he's, you know, not guilty or whatever, he's putting in that plea. But at the same time, no one has said that he did not kill this woman in El Salvador, right? And like, there's nothing else saying that he was not deported three times previously. All these things, they're not claiming that they're true. And so I just want, you know, again, I just want Democrats that are elected officials, or even those Democrats that believe allowing these illegal immigrants to walk our streets, I just want you to just think, you have no idea what they've done before they arrived here. You have no clue. And for me, if you say you're, you know, somebody knocks on your door, you have no idea about this person, they show you no ID, you've got no idea who they are, what they've done, they have no connection to anyone that you know of, and yet they want to just come into your house. Will you then just walk, let them walk into your house? Of course not. You don't let strangers just walk in your house, right? You lock the doors to make sure people can't just open the door and walk into your house. I don't know why we treat the southern border as if it's any different. So we'll continue to keep our eyes on this. Don't forget, like I said, Rebecca Pryor with Fox 45. If you want to check out what's going on in this trial, she's doing updates on X every hour. So you can watch and follow along. Also, we're going to get to Mayor Brandon Scott here in just a second. It looks like I've got Monica in Parkville. Monica, did you want to weigh in on Kristi Noem?
Yeah, I did. I've been watching everything on TV for a long time. And I can remember when Megyn Kelly wasn't too nice to our present president. And she went through some changes. And I've seen Judge Jeanine put Kristi Noem down because she shot a dog that she told about in her book. But, you know, and this girl is attractive. But, you know, when you hear her talk, she's very serious. She's a very serious person.
Yep.
And she has been very, you know, a good governor. And she really means what she's doing. She's very serious about it. And therefore, I still give her credit. She is good looking. So what?
Yeah.
She didn't wear shorts or a little skirt. You know, she wore jeans, boots, you know, identification on her like a jacket and whatever. And I think she's very serious about her job, and I think she's okay.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say.
Monica, it's right
okay,
there with
it's
you.
It's okay to be good looking.
Yeah.
You know? You're good looking.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, it is. It's okay. I think that is why they give her a hard time. I felt the same way. Remember when Sarah Palin came out and started running with John McCain? I felt like they treated her the same way. Before she
they
even
did.
Said anything, they were judging her based on her looks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think she would, she even mentioned recently Sarah Palin. She goes, I would love to work for Donald Trump. You know, she's dying to get back into doing something.
Yeah.
But, okay, what's her, who are we talking about? I'm sorry, my brain went fast.
Sarah Palin.
No, not Sarah Palin.
Oh, Kristi Noem.
Kristi Noem, thank you so much. No, as far as what she's doing, though, she's going to be quite successful, and people are paying attention. Like, if you put somebody else in there, maybe, or even if she wasn't, you know, if it wasn't in the headlights a lot, I don't know. I think it's very impressive. People are, they remember, and people are listening to her, too. So, anyway, I think she's a go.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Monica. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you. Yeah, and I always say North Dakota. I got to correct myself. South Dakota. Kristi Noem, South Dakota. How do I remember that, Brian? I don't even know. How do I remember that? I just thought I wanted to look really quickly here. A year ago in South Dakota, voters had her gave her a 43% approval rating as the governor, Kristi Noem in South Dakota. That's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's not amazing, but it isn't terrible. I had a couple of different things I just wanted to touch on real quick here. Mayor Brandon Scott, I noted this because he had this press conference in Curtis Bay yesterday. And shout out to our friend David in Curtis Bay. I know he was texting me about this, too. He announced, along with A.G. Brown, 12 suspects that were arrested for drug trafficking. And I have a little bit of audio here for you. But I thought one thing was glaring. And I know we talked about it on this show before, but go ahead and take a listen.
11 people in total now charged in a months-long investigation. Now, that investigation started last September after the suspects in this case were identified through the city's GVRS, or Gun Violence Reduction Strategy Program. It was sparked by a large number of fentanyl overdoses in the 4100 block of Morrison Court this past March. Investigators served several search warrants and seized drugs, money, and 9 handguns with Glock switches. Of course, that makes them fully automatic. The suspects, who you see there on your screen, range in the age from 20 to 49. 9 of them have previous convictions of carjacking, robbery, and illegal possession of a handgun. The mayor today saying others should be paying attention.
Together, we are sending a clear message. If you turn down the support, or if you call my bluff, or in Baltimore, as we say, if you tell the mayor to kick rocks, this will be what happens to you. Swift, certain, and legitimate consequences.
Now, 4 of the 11 are still on the loose right now, and BPD is asking them to turn themselves in, or anyone that has any information on their whereabouts, to give them a call. Kyan, Maxine.
And Vincent, you're standing where 60-year-old grandmother Mary Schumann was shot and killed after being caught in crossfire, we understand, which is in Curtis Bay. Have police have any links to this unsolved murder?
Well, Kyle, you can actually still see the bullet hole here in this wall. That's where that shooting happened. And I asked the mayor today about that investigation. Here's what he had to say.
You know better than anybody that we couldn't talk about that out loud, right? But our folks at BPD, working with our federal partners, as you know, they're going to trace every gun and make every connection in any case that we can and bring closure there, we will.
Meanwhile, the mayor saying busts like this is what's leading to a reduction in non-fatal shootings and homicides. In Curtis Bay, Vincent Hill, Fox 45 News.
All right, so there you have Mr. Mayor Scott. You know, he always says, you know, like I know. But he's been cutting back on that. You think it's because I've been pointing it out? Be yourself, Brandon. Be yourself. Well, anyways, I noted a couple things there. He said, if you call my bluff on this, right, that we're coming after you. If you call my bluff, which means in the streets, if you tell me to kick rocks, that's not true. That's not true. That's not the definition for that. The kids today would say that's cap. Okay, that's what calling somebody's bluff. That's cap. Well, I'm glad to correct it. But anyways, beyond that, I did notice that State's Attorney Ivan Bates was not at this press conference. And I noted that there wasn't anyone from his office at that press conference. Now, they have been beefing for quite some time because, remember, Ivan, he endorsed Sheila Dixon for mayor this last run. So I wonder, you know, if there's still a little beef there. It was interesting to see. But also on top of this, you see what Mayor Scott is saying now? He's at a complete 180. He used to say, we can't arrest our way out of this. Now he's arresting them all. It's crazy, isn't it? What a difference it makes. Now that Ivan Bates is the state's attorney, and he's actually locking some of these fools up and prosecuting them, now Mayor Scott sees that it works, and now he's saying, we can arrest our way out of it. Well, well, well. We told you this how many years ago, Mayor Scott? You've been doing this since 2020 in that position. And in 2020, you said you didn't want to arrest these people. And look what you're doing now. I think he owes the people of Baltimore an apology. He really does. All right, coming up next, real quick, I think I might have time for the sound. But Congressman Brandon Gill out of Texas, he's also a rising star. He grills a Baltimore resident on Capitol Hill yesterday. We'll be right back.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets? Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowie and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free Sky High Silver Report and Precious Metals IRA Guide at BetterNestEgg.com. Don't leave your future to change. Go to BetterNestEgg.com.
Steel, walk behind, zero turn, and stand-on mowers are built to get the job done. Shop online or at your local Steel dealer. Steel, let's go mow.
Hi, it's Sean Casey here. Join me for a fireside chat at our inaugural WCBM Pints and Politics Happy Hour, Wednesday, April 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Michael's Cafe and Timodium. Join me and delegate and Nino Mangione as we discuss Trump's first 100 days. Sponsored by Safe Retirement Solutions. Tickets are just $20 and include delicious light hors d'oeuvres and your own complimentary WCBM pint glass. Space is limited, so get your tickets today at WCBM.com. That's Pints and Politics, April the 30th at Michael's Cafe and Timonium.
We will make America proud again.
See you there.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, the stock market bounces back. Step off the ledge. Plus, what is driving the bat guano craziness of the left and Democrats?
I like them already.
And eliminating the truth. I'll explain.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. I think we had a pretty good show today. Real quick, going back to the question of the day at WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. That question is, do you believe that President Trump knows what he's doing when it comes to the tariffs? Real quick, just so you got an update here, 67% of you say yes, 33% of you say no. We'll continue to watch, of course, everybody in the world is currently watching President Trump and what he plans to do here. Brandon Gill, he is a freshman congressman from Texas, and he's also the son-in-law of Dinesh D'Souza, if you didn't know that. He's married to Danielle D'Souza, now Danielle Gill. And I believe he is a rising star. He's only 31 years old, and he was sitting on a House committee yesterday, and they were talking to individuals from violent cities. And Baltimore, of course, there was a gentleman by the name of Major Franklin. I don't know who that was. I tried to look him up. I could not find much on him. But he was there testifying in front of Congress. Well, Congressman Brandon Gill, he had some questions there for the major. Take a listen.
Would you describe Baltimore as a safe city?
What's your definition of safe?
I'm asking you, is Baltimore a safe city? Is it the kind of city that you would want to raise a family and maybe go jogging in without having to be worried about being murdered or raped?
I grew up in Baltimore. My family is in Baltimore. My mother still lives in the same house in West Baltimore.
Is it a safe city?
60 plus years, so the answer is definitely yes.
You think Baltimore is a safe city?
Of course it is.
Okay, do you know what the homicide rate is in Baltimore?
Exactly, no.
It's about 35 per 100,000. Do you know what the homicide rate is in the rest of the United States?
No, I don't.
I can tell you that the homicide rate in Baltimore is about 5 times the national average. Do you know how Baltimore's robbery rate compares to the rest of the United States?
At the moment, no, I don't.
You don't? It's about 8.4 times the national average. Do you know how Baltimore's assault rate compares to the national average?
No, I don't.
It's about 3.4 times higher. Does that sound like a safe city to you?
Safe to me and my family members.
So that's safe to you? 5 times higher than the national average for homicides? That's a safe city?
Perception.
It's what? Excuse me?
It said it's what the, for instance, it's perception. It's what you feel as a resident in Baltimore City.
If you're murdered, I don't think it matters what you feel, do you? Is it your testimony that the safety
Baltimore City
depends on how
city.
People feel?
To me, Baltimore City is a safe city.
To you, it's a safe city. I don't think it's safe to the people who are being murdered every single weekend there.
Again, that was Representative Brandon Gill. And if you heard there, that witness, he clearly doesn't live in Baltimore anymore. If you heard how he was speaking about it, he says his mother is still in West Baltimore, but it sounds like he is no longer in Baltimore. And yes, I believe that there are many people like that major that live here and believe that Baltimore is relatively safe because it's been more dangerous than this. But, here there is, it's 5 times the national average, if you're looking at the homicide rate. So shout out to Congressman Brandon Gill for not backing down and bringing the numbers to the forefront. Also tomorrow, I wanted to say we're going to be joined by Thaddeus Cleveland. He is a sheriff in Terrell, Texas, and a retired Border Patrol agent. He was there for 26 years. He's got some stories for us, and I can't wait to get to them. Also, I got a text here from a port worker's father. You were talking about the fund that was put together by the Baltimore Community Foundation. The father says that port worker hasn't received any money. Interesting. Well, as always, Brian, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric